Good morning and welcome to MAPFRE's results presentation for the third quarter of 2018. This is Natalia Núñez, Head of Investor Relations, and here with us is, as usual, Mr. Fernando Mata, our CFO and member of the board. He will take us through the main trends of the period. Just as a reminder, during the Q&A, we will answer all questions received at the investor relation address. After that, the IR team will be available to answer any further questions you may have. Now, with no further ado, let me hand the call over to Fernando.
Thank you, Natalia, and good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here with you again for our third quarter 2018 earnings call. Let's begin on slide two, when I will run through the main figures. First of all, I would like to highlight that we are still facing significant headwinds from foreign exchange movements, especially for our two largest exposures, the US dollar and the Brazilian real. At constant exchange rates, premiums are up 2.2%, and the net result stood at around 529 million euros, up nearly 19%, largely driven by lower nat cat losses. At constant exchange rates, it will have grown close to 26%. Shareholders' equity is down 4% year to date, again, mainly as a result of currencies. I would like to highlight that currency movements have lowered net equity by over 850 million euros, in that case, since January 1st last year. Our combined ratio closed at 98.1% and includes the snowstorms in the U.S., balance sheet adjustments in Brazil, and the recent typhoon, Jebi, in Japan. The ROE was over 9%, improving 2 percentage points compared to September 2017. Please turn to next slide, and I will briefly comment on the main highlights. Currency headwinds have been quite strong, and they are expected to continue being a drag on P&L during the coming months, but to a lesser extent. That's the good news. Regarding Brazil and the USA, the restructuring process needs to gain momentum. In Brazil, we will introduce the MAPFRE business model when we close the transaction with Banco do Brasil, which will be key to improving results in motor. In North America, Puerto Rico has had a solid recovery after 2017 nat cat events. As mentioned, the Northeast USA was affected by winter storms during the first quarter of the year, and the non-Northeast combined ratio is improving, but is still too high and is being carefully monitored. We expect 2019 to be a turning point for both USA and Brazil operations. Iberia, Latam North and South, and also MAPFRE RE are the strongest units in terms of profit contribution. Asistencia and Global Risks showed significant improvements in results. Trends are improving in the life business. In Spain, growth in life savings has been quite strong, even when excluding a large policy issue in the third quarter. Underlying profitability is also growing. In Brazil, there has been return to growth in life protection, but results still need to catch up. Talking about our capital position, it remains strong with a Solvency II ratio above 200% at June. Our financial flexibility was underpinned with the successful issuance of 500 million euros in subordinated debt in this quarter. Finally, MAPFRE's strong financial situation has been confirmed by the main rating agencies throughout the year. Please turn to next page. In this challenging context, I would like to highlight MAPFRE's resilience, which allows us to reaffirm a commitment to stable and growing dividends, within our 50%-60% payout range. 50%-65%, sorry, percent payout range. Of course, the main driver of dividends will be results. Our goal is to surpass last year's net result, around 700 million euros, assuming ordinary net cat losses in the fourth quarter. We are currently working on our new three-year strategic plan. It will be announced our AGM next March, and we'll continue to be focused on profitable growth and business transformation. Please turn to slide five. On the right side, you can see the main drivers of results by region and business unit. Iberia continues being a strong driver of profitability with a 354 million net result. And also excluding real estate gains and last year's extraordinary benefits from, probably you remember, the cancellation of a bank insurance provision, profit will have grown by over 3%. Again, outstanding results from Iberia. MAPFRE RE was the second largest contributor with 113 million euro net profit. Results in LATAM North and South are consistently improving year on year, while Brazil is still facing headwinds. And the turnaround at MAPFRE Asistencia and absence of cat losses at Global Risks help us improve results this year. Please turn to slide six. This slide shows the effects of currency depreciation on P&L. The Argentine peso and the Turkish lira were the worst performers, with a 39% and 25% fall in average exchange rates, respectively. The Brazilian real is still down over 17% year on year, and we have also seen an over 7% decline in the Mexican peso, and the US dollar has fallen over 5%. On the left side, you can see both premium and operating profit figures at constant exchange rates. Premiums grew 2.2% at constant exchange rates and 3.4% excluding the two following extraordinary singular policies. The biannual Pemex policy, you know it very well, for approximately 500 million euros issued in 2017. And a life group policy for 282 million euros issued in Spain in the third quarter of 2018. Regarding the result of insurance business, which was stable year on year, we've grown over 9% at constant exchange rates, with a strong growth in both life and non-life. On the next slide, I will go through the main highlights by the different regions. In Iberia, we've seen a strong underlying growth, both in non-life at 7% and life at 11%. The combined ratio is under 94%, with an outstanding 90.7% in motor, well below the market average. In Brazil, on the right of the slide, we're beginning to see a pickup in local currency growth, 10% in life and 3% in general P&C, while motor growth is more modest. Regarding profitability, there were further balance sheet adjustments in the third quarter, mainly in the motor business. We exclude this adjustment, the line is still underperforming. Lower financial income and higher acquisition expenses are also still weighing on results. We expect profitability measures in motors to begin to deliver in the coming quarters. And meanwhile, we reaffirm the three-year combined ratio target of below 100%. In North America, the Northeast USA is growing around 1% in US dollars on the back of tariff increases, while premiums in the Northeast region are still being reduced. In Puerto Rico, premiums are up 26% in dollars as a result of higher tariffs in commercial lines. Finally, in Latin North and South, There are positive premium trends across the region, with Mexico up 14% in local currency, in that case excluding Pemex. Peru is up 14%, and we've seen relevant growth across Central America countries. Premiums in Chile are still down year on year due to the cancellations of unprofitable business, which is having a positive impact on results. In addition, the sale of a building this quarter has had a 22 million euro net impact on group results. Finally, in Colombia, additional provisions have been made in annuity and workers' compensation runoff portfolios. As a result, it was mentioned in previous presentations of updating local term financial assumptions, as usual, following a quite prudent balance MAFRE's valuation policy. Please turn to slide 8. In Eurasia, Italy continues growing both premiums and results. Turkey is facing a reduction in its motor portfolio, which has a higher combined ratio due to both the already known 2017 MTPL regulation, as well as a higher inflation. In Malta, premiums are up 10% year on year, thanks to life savings. They're performing very well. Profitability is excellent at MAPFRE RE, as I mentioned, despite an increase in attritional claims during the first quarter, already mentioned as well, and a large event during this third quarter. And finally, Asistencia and Global Risks continue reducing premiums as a result of ongoing business restructuring. As you can see, the improvement in underlying results in Asistencia was 36 million euros, and in Global Risk around 18 million euros. Again, it's underlying results, because in absolute terms, the reduction in Global Risk was almost 80 million. Please turn to slide 9. Here, I would like to talk about extraordinary impacts that affected results. Weather-related and NatCat claims are down over 150 million euros year on year. Hurricanes and earthquakes affected Direct Insurance, MAPFRE RE, and Global Risk in 2017, as you know. This year, there have been severe winter storms in the US during the first quarter, with an 11.5 million euro net loss for MAPFRE USA and 7.6 million for MAPFRE RE due to the quota share agreement, reinsurance agreement. Also, MAPFRE RE was affected this quarter by Typhoon Jebi in Japan, with an initial estimated net loss of 39 million euros. There were several corporate transactions in 2017, they're fully disclosed in the footnote, with a total net impact of 15.7 million euros. This year, corporate transactions include the negative 7 million euro impact from the US exit plan, and also a 4 million hit from closing the Global Risk office in Germany. The last was taken in September of this quarter. Realized gains are stable year on year, as real estate is up and financial investments on the other side are down in a volatile market context. This year's transactions include the sale of the two buildings, one in Chile, already commented, and another in Portugal, with a 22 and 8.5 million euro net impact, respectively, both in the third quarter. Finally, 2017 figures also reflect a 27 million euro net gain from the reversal of a provision for contingent liabilities in bank assurance. Taking into account all these effects, the adjusted net result is down around 2%. Please turn to slide 10. There were additional extraordinary adjustments in Brazil in September as a result of the final, I want to emphasize, the final review to achieve a more conservative balance sheet valuation with a 22 million euro negative net impact during the third quarter, reaching 31 million euros total for the year. On, this is a good news, on November 6th, the last approval was received by the SUSEP, from the SUSEP, and in this context the transaction will be completed on November the 30th. Full disclosure of these adjustments, which are mainly related to motor and life business lines, is at the bottom of the slide. Please turn to next page to look at the main figures of the non-life business by region and business unit. Here I would like to focus on the combined ratio. As you can see, there have been solid improvements in Iberia and Latam North and South, thanks to the successful implementation of our profitable growth strategy in these regions. The combined ratios at MAPFRE RE and Global Risks have been exceptional, especially when considering the current market context. Brazil has been affected by the balance sheet adjustment that we just commented on the previous slide. And excluding these adjustments, the combined ratio will stand at around 91%. Please turn to slide 18 when I briefly comment on the balance sheet and solvency position. Shareholders' equity has fallen this year by over 340 million euros to around 8.3 billion euros. The net unrealized gains on the available for sale portfolio fell by over 200 million euros, and currency conversion differences fell by over 210 million euros during the year. These declines were driven by several market movements. First, the depreciation of our main currencies. Second, higher yields in Europe and in the US. And finally, the fall in European equity markets. As you can see on the right, these currency conversion differences have been the largest in Brazil, followed by the Turkish lira. Also, the diversification of our balance sheet has helped mitigate these changes, and we have seen positive contributions from the US dollar and the Mexican peso. Please turn to slide 19. On the left, you can see that assets under management are down slightly since the beginning of the year. This is driven by volatility in stock markets and peripheral bonds, as well as currency movements, mainly again the Brazilian real. The breakdown of the investment portfolio is on the left. Asset allocation has been relatively stable throughout the year, and our cash position is up from 2.2 to 2.6 billion euros during the quarter, mainly as a result of the recent subordinated debt issuance. The largest exposures correspond to Spanish sovereign debt with 16 billion euros. In Italia's SOBIS, our exposure is 2.8 billion euros, close to the 3 billion euro limit recently approved by the board. It is worth highlighting that over two-thirds of these positions are located in immunized portfolios, as you can see on the bottom right chart. Somehow it limits our risk exposure. On slide 20, we will look at our actively managed investment portfolios. Our portfolio yields are quite high, 2.3% in non-life and nearly 4% in life, well above market yields. Duration in non-life has slightly increased throughout the year, trying to keep accounting yields quite stable. Regarding realized gains, during the third quarter, Spanish debt has been very volatile. Realized gains reached 73 million euros in non-life portfolios, down around 36 million euros compared to last year. Gains are also slightly down in life portfolios, basically due to MAPFRE RE. Please turn to the next slide. On the left, you can see the breakdown of the capital structure, which amounted to 12.3 billion euros. During the quarter, we issued 500 million euros in subordinated debt with an effective yield of under 4.2%, 20 basis points lower than the last debt issue last year. With this bond, leverage has increased to over 20%, still at very low levels compared to our peers. We now have 680 million euros undrawn on our credit facility, which give us significant financial flexibility. Let's move on to Solvency II figures. Solvency II ratio stood at close to 202% at June 30th, above our 200% target range, confirming MAPFRE's strong and stable solvency position, even in a year marked by high market volatility. We have a high-quality capital base with 93% of eligible own funds in Tier 1, and the new subordinated bonds is Tier 2 debt and will be reflected in September figures. Those are as of June, when we will release. Let's move on the last slide, and I will make a few closing remarks. Regarding currencies, we have faced significant headwinds during the recent quarters, and we expect this to continue, but to a lesser extent, in the coming months. Again, this is a consequence of our diversified business model, which in the long run provide us with balance sheet resilience, earnings stability, and also growth opportunities. We have achieved our restructuring targets for both Brazil and the U.S., and we expect these processes to gain momentum after the transactions are closed. As we previously mentioned, for MAPFRE, day one will be January 1st next year. We are pretty confident in the outlook for Brazil. The economy is improving, the political situation is stabilizing after recent elections, and we will be able to optimize the new agreement with Banco do Brasil in a more favorable environment. In USA, we are now beginning to see the effectiveness of the new profitability initiatives already implemented, and California is a very good example of how we can implement the turnaround in other states. We believe that MAPFRE's capabilities are greater than what current numbers are showing. Several important units are performing well: Iberia, LatAm North and South, and MAPFRE RE, which is proof of our ability to successfully implement our profitable growth strategy. Finally, MAPFRE has a solid capital position, which will underpin dividend stability and allow us to continue to meet our commitments with shareholders. That's all from my side. Thank you. Now I will hand the call over to Natalia to begin the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fernando. Before the Q&A, I would like to make one quick announcement. I am pleased to let you know that we will be hosting our next Investor Day on April the 8th, following the AGM in March. We will provide you with the specific details at a later date, but we can anticipate that the agenda will cover the main topics from the new strategic plan, and we look forward to sharing this opportunity with you again. Now we can start with the Q&A session. The first question comes from Ivan Bokhmat from Barclays, and is in Iberia regarding the combined ratio. The combined ratio appears weaker in 3Q across the board, motor, general P&C, accident and health. Is there a trend behind losses?
Yeah, thank you, Ivan. First, a general comment is about the weather seasonality in Spain. Usually severe rains happens before summer. This year is happening mainly in September and also in October. So those rains, these rains are increasing the combined ratio both in auto and homeowners, but this is seasonal. And we have to look at the combined ratio in the long run in order to see future trends. We keep a best-in-class combined ratio in Iberia. We are extremely satisfied with all the measures implemented, and we are pretty satisfied with the excellent performance in the area, in the country. The combined ratio in Spain goes from 93.5 in June this year to 93.7 at the end of the third quarter. And it was, as I mentioned, due mainly to weather-related claims affecting these three lines: motor line, also homeowners, and agricultural lines, which is very important. I would like to mention the very positive evolution of the combined ratio in Portugal from 101 in June this year to 97.2% at the end of the third quarter. And it was thanks to a relevant improvement in our claims experience. Particular workers' compensation, this is a line of business we live in due to the high loss ratio.
Okay, thank you. Another question from Ivan is, what is MAPFRE competitive strategy in Spain at this moment? You mentioned at the second quarter 2018 that low combined ratio left room for market share gains.
Yeah, let's say, Ivan, that the growth is important, but the profitable growth is even more important. And this is the main message I want to send to you and to the rest of your colleagues. Iberia has a leading position in the main long life segments in Spain and a very low, very good level of combined ratio. It's approximately is below 94%. In motor line, what we've seen is further improvements from the year by year. And our view is that the current 90% level will be quite challenging to keep in the future, especially to gain market share. On the long run, what we've seen is a 92% combined ratio for automobile as a more reasonable level. Obviously, this gap allows us to be a little bit more competitive in terms of tariffs, but keeping our stricter underwriting policies and also our prudent guidelines. With the recent insurance data published by ICEA in June 2019, we're still maintaining a gap of nearly 5 percentage points versus the market in the combined ratio. For growth opportunities, we're looking at the different opportunities we can see in the market, but always focus on profitability. As we already mentioned in previous presentation, we have begun to steadily grow again in the fleet segments, small van fleets, and after several years of reducing exposure. It will give us room for growth in automobile, which is very important for MAPFRE. In other non-life segments, we've seen some room for improvements in homeowners and third-party liability combined ratios that our view is that currently there is room for improvements in both line of business.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm looking for another question that is regarding Iberia. Yeah, this question comes from Farquhar Murray from Autonomous, and is, could you outline whether you expect the wealth tax changes related to unit link to have a material impact on the sales, reserves, and operations of MAPFRE Vida in Spain?
Well, first of all, it's not a change. This is a proposal. We have to see whether or not it will come to
to a law in force. And so far, I wouldn't like to comment on this topic. But anyway, and if in the end it is a levy on these products, I don't think it will affect neither our balance sheet nor our sales in Mapfre Vida.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, Ivan Bokmat from Barclays ask about the increase in the loss ratio in the reinsurance and global risks businesses in the third quarter, and if we could give more details of the geographic distribution of losses.
Yeah, first of all, let me take a positive view on both entities and to highlight the excellent combined ratios in Mapfre Re and Global Risk, which both are around 96%. And both have improved in comparison with last year when we were affected by the five catastrophic events in the third quarter. Let's say that the improvement is the result of our strict technical management, underwriting guidelines, and our effective reinsurance strategy based on a quite low risk appetite. With regard to this quarter, we have seen an increase in non-catastrophic losses, what we call attritional losses, in both units, which have led to a slight increase in the third quarter in some regions, worth mentioning Europe and the US regions, for example. But all in all, we are very proud of this technical management, especially in a quarter affected by large catastrophes.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, another one from Ivan from Barclays is regarding LATAM. And is a strong improvement was seen across LATAM North and LATAM South in both life and PNC. How sustainable is this result?
Thank you, Ivan. It was said many years ago that the Mapfre wouldn't achieve a combined ratio in LATAM North and LATAM South below 100. Fortunately, I mean, those forecasts, they were wrong, and we're happy with the current performance that we've seen in both regions. Last year, they were around 98%, and this year below with 2.4% decrease and 1.9% decrease in both regions. Mapfre has proved a high level of expertise and track record in emerging countries, and now we are harvesting the fruit of all the initiatives implemented in majority of the countries, and also the know-how and the expertise that Mapfre is able to deliver in these regions. In LATAM North and LATAM South, the main drivers of value creation are long-term resilience, as we said, earnings stability, and also a strong capital position. So despite the economy, which is cyclical, and the insurance market quite complex, we are extremely confident in our current footprint in both regions, LATAM North and South.
Great, thank you. Now there is a question from Michael Huttner from JP Morgan, and is regarding strategic and targets. What is the sustainable profit run rate once the planned Brazil and North America restructurings are complete?
Well, we are about to complete both countries' restructuring processes. Michael, as we said, day one for Mapfre in both countries is January 1st. And also, you know that we're currently preparing the new strategic plan, which will be finalized over the next few months and approved by the board at the end of the year, beginning of next year, and presented at our AGM in March 2019. At that point, we'll be able to provide you with a clearer picture of the and also the new financial targets. Anyway, in any case, we do not expect any major change from our current strategy. as we are convinced that we are the current one, but there will be a greater focus probably on transformation and innovation in order to adapt the company to the new market trends. In a nutshell, we're looking at where we want MAPFRE to be in the longer term, not only a three-year plan. So at the AGM, we will give you more information regarding the financial targets.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, also from Michael Hartner, the commitment to at least flat earnings for the full year 18 versus full year 17 seems relatively undemanding, given 2017 was affected by extraordinary net cuts. What is your view? And also, in line with this question, given the strong solvency of 203% at June, and that the full year 17 period was affected by extraordinary net cuts, the commitment to a stable dividend seems to be relatively modest. Why not to pay more?
Yeah, thank you again. And as we mentioned, our target is stable and growing dividends within a 50-65% payout range. Stable dividend for the current year, 2018, makes sense when taking into account the current economy and also the market context. The underlying result was down 2% year on year, and we didn't exclude the adjustment in Brazil that we're still facing, and also we're still facing currency headwinds, and also the low level of interest rates. And in several markets and two key units that need to gain momentum in the restructuring process. Overall, we are satisfied with the results we've seen. Iberia continues with an excellent performance. MAPFRE RE and Global, as I mentioned, have combined ratios around 95%, even after higher net cat quarter. And LATAM is proof of the success of our effective profitable growth strategy. Further improvements in results and ROE will help us to continue to grow dividends in the medium terms. So, all in all, we're looking at the improving our results and also improving dividends, but both figures, they have to be together.
Okay, thank you, Fernando. Next question regarding LATAM was sent by Francisco Riquel from Alantra. As for Argentina, what is the impact from hyperinflation accounting expected in Q4, both in P&L and in equity?
Yeah, thank you, Francisco. We have included a full disclosure of the hyperinflation accounted on page 22 of our financial report of management discussion analysis, which is already available at the CNB. But there is a proxy effect because we haven't registered we haven't booked in our financial statements the hyperinflation effect. Let me see at the numbers. Also, I have to mention that the importance of Argentina in the financial statements of MAPFRE, taken as a whole, is quite reduced. Our current MAPFRE Argentina equity is approximately 30 million euro without restatement. And after restatement, it will grow to 45 million euro. Regarding profit, without restatement, the profit contribution from Argentina is 13.7 million and restated is 1.5 million. So the net impact will be a reduction of the benefit of almost 12.2 million euro. Please, as an advice, you shouldn't extrapolate, these figures for the full year. First, because for hyperinflation countries, the currency rate applied is the end of the period. So as September, the current exchange rate for peso Argentino was 47 for €1, and currently is like a 40. So it means there is an appreciation of the Argentinian peso during this month, the month of October. So probably, I mean, the effect on the P&L will be lower if the Argentine peso keeps the same trend for the remaining part of the year. But for sure, I mean, we will include the hyperinflation accounting rules in the annual accounts for the full year.
Okay, thank you very much. Next question comes from Ivan Bokhmat, Silvia Rigol from BBVA, Michael Huttner from JPMorgan, Andrew Sinclair from Bank of America Merrill Lynch, and Paco Riquel from Alantra. So these set of questions are regarding Brazil, and as you can see, it has arisen a lot of interest. First one is regarding the combined ratio in 3Q 2018 that continued to deteriorate. When should we start seeing an inflection point?
First of all, it's a general comment. In Brazil, we have a quite well-diversified position in this country. And what we've seen in the third quarter is a deterioration of basically motor line business. But in agricultural business, the combined ratio is quite low. And also, we've seen quite good profits coming from the life business. We're pretty confident for the outlook in Brazil. The agreement with our partner has been reinforced, and we will leverage MAPFRE's expertise and our proven track record in the motor business. As already mentioned in previous presentation, we are already implementing some of the initiatives and measures to streamline the organizational structure and processes in order to have a more efficient decision-making process. There are several initiatives in the pipeline that were designed by the task force in February involving actuarial, technical, and commercial functions. I said in the pipeline because some of the pipeline, some minor initiatives have already been implemented. But we have to wait. As you know, there's insurance in the insurance business, increases in tariffs, reduction of some agents' accounts, and also the streamline of some or reduction of coverage in some products. It takes time to see the or to harvest profits. So we have to wait a little bit longer, and probably next year will be the first one to see a better performance in automobile.
Regarding politics, do you anticipate a change in policy or economic direction from Brazil presidential elections?
We don't like to comment on political issues, but as a general view, I mean, the greater political stability is always good news for a democracy like Brazil. Markets have reacted positively with the Brazilian real exchange rate recovering nearly 20% from minimum levels. Remember last month we see R$5, and now it's like 40, 23, 25. It's like we've been some lateral movements for the last weeks. So let's say that the markets have welcomed, I mean, the new government in Brazil. We're quite confident as well that the new government will help Brazil to enter this phase of economic recovery, and they will adapt measures and reforms that we consider necessary to recover the stability that Brazil needs for its long-term growth. But we're quite happy. I mean, it's like there are three situations. I mean, the new agreement with Banco do Brasil, political social stability, and macro figures, the three things, the good factors to improve and to grow our operation in Brazil.
Thank you. Next one, also around Brazil. Considering the restructuring costs booked in Brazil, the new measures and higher acquisition expenses to pay to Banco do Brasil, could we consider that the actual price for the operation is not 490 million euros, but it could be higher? Were all these charges already included in negotiation talks and already discounted from the final price? Does your 10% ROI target for the operation include all these charges?
Yeah, thank you, Silvia. Value of the business consideration has been discussed for many, many months and since we announced these transactions. Frankly, this is an acquisition that has been made not from scratch. Mapfre has managed this company, both companies, for almost 7 years, and we know very, very well the business, both the strengths and the weakness. And both was taken into consideration when we value the business and the transaction. What I mean is that the value we announced at the origin of the transaction was a fair estimation, was a market valuation, and we consider it that is absolutely valid at this moment. And also, I would like to reaffirm that we made the targets we knew the situation of the company. We are quite confident with the three-year targets as we announced. There is no changes. We reaffirm the targets for the three-year period that we announced some months ago. That I don't mind to repeat it. Combined ratio below 96% in non-life and below 100% in motor. If you eliminate the effect of those adjustments in motor line, you will get an underlying combined ratio for automobile lower than the numbers published, and you see that the reduction in combined ratio is quite achievable.
Thank you very much. We have seen, regarding Brazil, we have seen adjustments to reserves every quarter since you announced the deal. What is the reason for these adjustments?
Thank you. First of all, again, a general comment, and we have to put this adjustment to reserves in the proper context. Mapfre has been extremely prudent on balance sheet valuation. This is part of the tradition, our conservative view, and our DNA. We have seen when we booked a special reserve for the Baremo implementation in Spain, and also when we increase our mathematical provisions in some countries in Latin America in order to mitigate perhaps future increases in yields. Regarding particularly Brazil, this adjustment are a result of the valuation process that we studied at the beginning of this year, and they're quite normal in this sort of transactions. And what we're trying is to apply the more conservative and prudent valuation basis in the companies. The review has been a gradual process, and some of these adjustments were booked in the first quarter, some in the second quarter, and other minor adjustments could be applied, were booked in the third quarter. But let's say, as I mentioned during my presentation, the final analysis was made at the third quarter, and we shouldn't expect any relevant deviation from those estimates during fourth quarter or next year. And that's all from my side.
Thank you very much. Now we have more questions from Brazil. And this comes from Paz Ojeda from Banco Sabadell. Day one in Brazil from 1st January 2019. Could you elaborate, please? Does it mean day one in order to start executing restructuring and cleanup portfolio measures, or day one to start bearing the fruits of the balance sheet cleanup made in 2018 so far?
No, it means day one means that in January, we will have a proper organizational, new organizational chart, a new business model ready to be implemented. And also, throughout the 2019, we expect to see the fruits of some of the restructuring and cleaning up portfolio.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, the next set of questions are regarding the reinsurance business. Farquhar Murray at Autonomous has sent us the following questions: Is there any risk of adverse loss development emerging on Hurricane Maria in the future? And what are the reinsurance covers remaining against this? Also, Paco Riquel would like an indication of the Nat Cat losses expected in the fourth quarter for the reinsurance business.
First of all, let me emphasize again the strength of our reinsurance protection, cat reinsurance protection, which is supported by top-quality counterparties. Regarding the covers remaining in Maria, from Hurricane Maria, we still have a significant, and I will repeat, significant excess reinsurance capacity to cover any further potential deviation. And the net retained losses are not expected to change. And you see, it was quite a small increase during the second quarter in our net loss, and has been a small release in the third quarter. But also, I would like to highlight as well the MAPFRE's capacity to assess five cat events like those that happened last year. And being one of the first insurers to come out to the market with an estimate and quite small variation from the initial estimate to the final loss. Also, as we discussed in previous presentations, has been a small increase in claims in Puerto Rico, and but it wouldn't affect our net retention. And in summary, practically in Puerto Rico, 95% of the claims have been settled, and also it was another line of business that was a little bit controversial. We have a low exposure in to business interruption coverage.
Regarding the question from Paco Riquel, would you like to give us an indication of the Nat Cat losses expected in the fourth quarter of this year from the reinsurance business?
Yeah, thank you, Paco. Nobody knows what is gonna happen in cat exposure, and but so far, and we have disclosed this information in the management discussion analysis, in the caption of subsequent events, has been another cat event in Japan, Hurricane Trami, and what we disclose is that the impact is much smaller than the Typhoon Jebi. Also, Michael, that affected the Hurricane Michael, that affected the U.S., the effect on our U.S. operation is practically negligible. So, and other runoff of third quarter catastrophes, I mean, it's too early to say, but we shouldn't expect any relevant deviation from our current or from our preliminary estimate of Typhoon Jebi in MAPFRE RE.
Thank you. Andrew Sinclair from Bank of America Merrill Lynch asks, can you please give us an estimate for your losses from Hurricane Michael, as your peers have done?
As I mentioned, it's practically negligible.
Okay, thank you. Now we are moving to MAPFRE USA. Paco Riquel from Alantra asks, can you update on the restructuring plan in the U.S. and what states will you be looking to exit?
Yeah, thank you, Paco. Our exit plan has been executed in line with expectation. I will say that probably it was in a quite short period. We expected to be quite long at the beginning, but in the end, I mean, we finished before schedule. And what we're looking at is a strong improvement in the non-Nordics region with a strong reduction in losses under 15 million compared to 18 million last September and over 3 points in the combined ratio. As you know, the final closing for a transaction in New York and New Jersey is expected for year-end. And we don't expect any major impacts for now until then. I mean, it's ongoing business, but we must keep in mind that the New Jersey and also New York businesses will remain on our balance sheet until then. We expect our best estimation is that we expect to complete both transactions by year-end. Regarding other states, there have been few relevant states that have reported profits over the last few months, including California. I would like to mention that the California combined ratio was approximately 113%, if I'm not wrong, with a reduction of almost 10 points in 2 years. So we're quite happy with California that it will be a key state for future development. On the other hand, Florida is still underperforming. I mean, it's a more complicated state. In California, we are operating only in personal lines, while in Florida, we have homeowners and also commercial, auto commercial lines, which is more difficult. Tariffs are more challenging as well, and the cat reinsurance coverage costs are affecting as well our Florida exposure. Regarding Verti, the business plan and initial launch have both been conservative. Verti will play two different roles, quite similar to Spain. It will be a business unit, but it will be as well a sort of a business laboratory for MAPFRE. And for instance, technology, the new insurance software we implemented in Verti will help us to have a more efficient technology platform probably in the future in the traditional business in the U.S. So we have to look at Verti with both views, I mean, business unit and also the innovation of this business insurance laboratory for MAPFRE. Regarding further exits, we're constantly analyzing all the states, profitability in all markets. And what we haven't seen is that we have enough flexibility to reduce exposures or to exit other states if necessary. But so far, and we're happy with the current, the first wave of reduction of states. And I don't see any further reduction in the short term. Again, for us, 2019 will be the turning point, day one, for MAPFRE USA.
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando. This is the last question. There are no more questions. So the last one is from Paz Ojeda from Banco Sabadell. And she asks, net profit above 700 million euros implies close to 180 million euros of recurrent net profit in Q4, adjusted for inflationary impact in Argentina. This seems to be quite challenging, taking into account the current pace and the usual claim seasonality of this quarter. How confident are you on reaching this level, and what could be the drivers supporting this level?
Thank you, Pat. As I mentioned before, we're happy, I mean, with the results, and we've seen even in a very complex environment. We have to look at the MAPFRE capabilities and to look at the good performance of MAPFRE Iberia, MAPFRE RE, LATAM North, and LATAM South as well, in order to have a proper projection for the fourth quarter. And also MAPFRE's flexibility in realizing gains in both financial instruments and also real estate. As you know, the third quarter was extremely difficult, I mean, for market, for both, I mean, the bond markets and also the stock market. But this flexibility allows us to sell a couple of units, and there are more units in the pipeline. This is part of the rotation, the schedule of units rotation, and we will be able to come back to the normal pace of realizing capital gains. We're confident on reaching this level. If we said that 7 million euros is because we're quite confident that we can reach this. If not, we wouldn't have given this guidance. We did mention that this target depends on our ordinary nat cat loss experience so far, and Typhoon Trami, it was a relevant one during the fourth quarter. But we have an standard loss experience for the fourth quarter. We're pretty sure, I'm pretty sure that's why we have given this guidance. We will achieve 700 million euros. Even we said that we're trying to improve, I mean, last year results, so means that we will achieve this number. And also we will repeat dividend, and as we mentioned.
Thank you very much, Fernando. This is all from the side of the questions we have received. So thank you very much to you all. And thank you, Fernando, for your explanations.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. We hope the information has been interesting. We'll be back again next year when we release our full year results. And as we mentioned every presentation, there are plenty of financial information available, both CNMV and also our web, which we expect be of your interest. Thank you, and enjoy the long weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.